Blog Talk Radio.
Declare to you the past is over in you. Hallelujah. Thanking God for a new day, for another day. Hallelujah. As we like to say, no things broke in. Hallelujah. No fires broke out. God has been with us all night. Hallelujah. Peaceful rest. Thank you, God, for peaceful rest this morning. Thank you, God, for a good night's sleep. Thank you, God, for waking me up, waking us up, refreshed, renewed, and ready to move forward in your holy and divine way. What a wonderful God we have that loves us so very, very much. Hallelujah. I am thankful today. I am grateful today. I am blessed beyond measure today. Why? Because God gave me a do-over. So I pray today will be better for you than it was on yesterday. Father God in heaven, we come together today excited, refreshed, renewed, and ready, Lord God, to receive a word from you. Father God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy sight. For you are my strength, Father. You are my strength. You are Jehovah. You are Yahweh. You are Elonai. You are all things, Lord God. You are the great I am. And you love me more than I love myself. Why? Because you're my Father, and I'm your child, and I am a grateful child. And, Lord, I lift this word up again to you, asking you, Father God, to give me insight on what to say, how to do it, and what to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for a wonderful day. And before we go any further, Father God, we ask you, cover your children in Ukraine, Lord God. Cover them coming in and going out, Lord God. Let not one more child die in this horrible, unnecessary conflict created by a power-hungry man. Lord God, you know everything. You see everything. You know the hearts of your people. And, Lord God, I'm asking for shields of protection around the innocent, around those that in and outside of Russia that do not want this awful war, because conflicts turn to war. Lord God, we ask you to send your warring angels to fight against this spirit of Antichrist that has come up and reared its ugly head. In Jesus' name, Lord God, we pray, believing and knowing that right and truth will come out over lies, deceit, and untruth. In Jesus' name, amen. We give honor to the Most High God. And as we many know, there is a conflict going on between Ukraine and Russia. And all we can do is pray, God, to cover the innocent. Our children. Children always wind up on the short end of conflict. And all we can say is, please, God, watch over them. So let's get into our word this morning. It is a Psalm proverb in New Testament Sunday. But for those that were with me on Friday, we had a glitch where we lost contact. The Morning Glory website cut everybody off. It was kind of a messy situation. And so please forgive me if you were in the middle. I hope you went on and finished the Leviticus chapter 20 word. And it was dealing with men and women and clean and unclean. And so I pray that you went on and completed that word. But if not, we were in Leviticus chapter 20, and we ended at verse 26. I believe we got cut off right at the end of, I think it was like verse 23, 24, somewhere in there. So please, if you have opportunity to go back and read Leviticus chapter 20, it is very, very, very informative. And it's not something that was a yesterday word. It is a today word, dealing with cleanliness of men and women and, you know, the things that we should do, you know, and should not do. So it talks about clean, unclean animals as well. So read that chapter 20 of Leviticus when you get an opportunity. So we are going to get into our word this morning. And I am just excited, you know, because God's word touches my heart. It's my happy place. And the word that God gave me this morning is from Leviticus chapter 6. And I believe it's actually our tomorrow word, but God gave it to me today. And so we're going to go over it today, and we're going to use it today. And it is a today word. We're going to make it a today word. And we will go back into the Old Testament on tomorrow, because when God gives me something, I do what God tells me to do, because I get scared, just being honest. So our word is keep your eyes on Jesus. That is our word for this morning. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Can y'all say that with me one more time? Keep your eyes on Jesus. And we're going to start this morning in Mark chapter 5, and we will be going up to Mark chapter 6, verse 56 today, and then we'll go back and get some Proverbs and some Psalms in. And the word of God in Mark chapter 5 says, "And then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me.' But he said to him, 'Come out of man, unclean spirit.' Then he asked him, 'What is your name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, but we are many.' Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, 'Send us to the swine that we may enter them.' And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirit went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. Can y'all imagine someone having 2,000 demons in them? He had a legion of demons inside of him. 2,000. And the herd ran violently down that feet placed into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw that one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with them. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. And there's a song out there, and it just goes, I am a witness, it was Jesus, there's no doubt, nobody but the Lord. I have an assurance way down in my soul, and I cannot ask who it was, because I am a witness, it was Jesus, there's no doubt, nobody but the Lord. I have an assurance way down in my soul, and I dare not ask who it was. Because we know that it was Jesus that healed the man with the demon possession. We know it was Jesus that told him, you got to go. You know, we got to understand Jesus is the one that does it all. Hallelujah. We got to be witnesses for Jesus today. We got to be witnesses to let folks know who our God is. We got to let folks know that we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. We can't be of little faith. Hallelujah. We cannot be of little faith. We got to know that there is power in what we say. There is power in what we do, because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are witnesses for Jesus today. Hallelujah. You know, a snippet of my sermon for this morning is power is in the tongue. Hallelujah. There's power in this little member behind our teeth. Hallelujah. We got to watch our mouths. We got to watch what we say. But we know that when Jesus is involved, he knows exactly what to say. He knows exactly what to do. We got to be witnesses today. And we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Mark chapter 5, verse 21 through 46. And it says, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And anybody who's had an issue of blood know you become anemic. You're tired. Your face looks even different because it looks all rained because there's no blood. You know, you feel awful. You feel bad. You don't smell so good. So you know she was having a problem. And we just read in Leviticus she was unclean. So she could easily have gotten into some serious trouble, even being out in the street to touch the hem of his garment. But she was determined to be made well. She had faith that I'm going to get better. Why? Because Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming through. I know that my change is going to come. Hallelujah. And this is what it says in the Word of God. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. But she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, not next week, not Friday, not Saturday, not Sunday, but immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you. You say, who touched me? Excuse me. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Sometimes, we say sometimes, but we know all the time, we need to go and touch the hem of his garment to be made whole, to be made well, because we all have afflictions. We all have issues. How do we touch his hem? We go to his word. How do we spend time with Jesus? We go to his word. We take our knees. We push. We do what we need to do to get in his presence so that if nothing else, we can touch the garment that he is wearing. Hallelujah. We want to have some time with Jesus today. And it says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Come on now. Do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except his ace. I call them the aces, Peter, James, and John. Come on now. And then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult of those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, what make this commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. When he took the child by the hand and said, Talit kumah, kumi, which is translated little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. Come on now. Little girl. It's all you have to say. It's little girl. I say to you, arise. Little girl, I say to you, arise. Jesus spoke, and it was done. Power of the tongue spoken by the Savior. Little girl, come on now. Hallelujah. The Lord knows what to do, and the Lord knows what to say. Hallelujah. And then told the parents, give us something to eat. You know what I'm going to say? This baby's hungry. This baby is hungry. Get up. Come on now. Let's keep it going. In Mark chapter, it says, when he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his own? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Like, who is this little upstart coming in trying to tell us what to do? I know he's doing miracles and stuff, but wait a minute. Hold on. Can I tell you something? Isn't that Joseph's kid? Isn't that Mary's son? Isn't that the carpenter's kid? What are you doing out here trying to talk about he the son of God? Girl, please, he's Joseph's son. I don't know what he's talking about. So, now you see all that he's doing. You know folks have been saved. You know folks have been healed. Right? We know some people have been raised from the dead. But yet, in all your mind, all you can think about is that's a carpenter's kid. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now, he could do no mighty works there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for their journey except the staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belt, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Also he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in a day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Now King Herod heard of him, for his name had become well known. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. Others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is the prophet. It is the prophet, or like one of the prophets. Then when Herod heard it, he said, this is John, whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself has sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For he had married her because John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Again, something we just read in Leviticus, y'all. You know, the law, Jesus said, I didn't come save the law. It's all there, still going on. Married his brother's wife, who was still, of course, married to his brother. So they was not only messing around, but they was even messing with the top 10 commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. So Herod, no, he was a hot mess. Therefore, Herod, and she was a ratchet hot mess too, because she's the one that told her daughter, go dance for this man. And we know it probably was provocative because he offered her half his kingdom, whatever she wanted, up to half his kingdom. And what happened? She didn't want nothing but the head of John. And we know why, because her mama told her to do that. Therefore, Herod held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. But Herod feared John, knowing that he was just and holy. He was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Then an opportune day came that Herod on his birthday gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers, and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who were with them, the king said to the girl, ask me whatever you want and I will give it to you. He also swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half my kingdom. Come on now. She must have really did some dancing. She was a TikToker back at before TikTok. So she went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head is on the back. Low down, dirty, and ratchet. Just call it straight. Adulterous, nasty woman. Immediately she came in with the haste of the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. again, when we talk about death and life is in the tongue, this little girl really rushed in because her mama said, give me that head of John the Baptist, you know, the one that done told the truth about me, but I don't like it being talked about, you know. So we're not going to let him talk about my adulterous stuff. Ooh, just low down and dirty. I want you to give me at once. That was like an immediate thing. The head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceedingly sorry. Yet because of the oath, because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Because he had just made a pledge. I give you half, up to half my kingdom. Hot and bothered, I guess. Too much. Damn. She must have did some dance. Because she caused the man's life. That had done nothing wrong but tell the truth. He spoke truth to lies, but lost his head. And the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Just evil for evil's sake, y'all. Just evil for evil's sake. And then as we continue in Mark, this is where our word is coming from this morning. And it says, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. But there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they had 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the grass, on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in 150s. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to sit before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men standing. That's not including women and children. So we know that they did 4,000, not including women and children. And 5,000, not including women and children. So we understand that them 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish fed a bunch of folks, didn't it? We know that with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat to go before him to the other side, to Bethesda, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Because Jesus was a pusher. He was always praying until something happened. Jesus pushed on a regular. Jesus was a prayer warrior. Come on now. And he was the Savior, and he prayed. So why do we think we don't need to pray? We got to start pushing too. We got to start praying. Praying for the Lord to come in and sweep us clean and get things the way they need to be. Thank Jesus. Thank the Lord. Pray. Push until. pray until something happens. You've got to have the push in your life. And then it goes on to say, as we continue, now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. But they all saw him and were troubled, but immediately, come on, y'all, can y'all say that with me? Immediately, he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized them and ran through the whole surrounding region and began to carry out about Obeah, those who were sick, to wherever they heard he was, wherever he entered into the village, cities of the country. They laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. Hallelujah. Your faith has made you well. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Because if you want a peace, be still in your peace, be still in your spirit. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Because he's the one that tells the wind and the waves still. Hallelujah. Peace, be still. We got to have a peace, be still in our spirit. We got to know who we are and who we're dealing with. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Look to Jesus, family. Look to Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Savior and watch him work in your life. Thanking God for a word. Let's go back and get some life lessons out of this word this morning. And the first one is coming out of Mark chapter 5, verse 19. Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. The former demonic really wanted to go with Jesus. He probably did not think it very compassionate that Jesus refused to let him do so. But Jesus' compassion is much more than merely being nice. Hallelujah. He told him, yeah, you got work to do. You got work to do. Go on to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. And now he has had compassion on you. Understand, most of the time, Jesus said, don't tell nobody. Don't tell anybody what it did. But he had to tell this man, you go and tell folks who I am. Because he kept his eyes on Jesus. And he said, I want to go with you. I want to go with you. And Jesus said, not today. No, you got to go tell some folks some things. He became an evangelist. He came out, he started telling folks about Jesus. But we all understand that there are folks that are believers and there are folks that are perpetrators. You know, we understand that at some points in history, there were those that used the cross to vilify, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But they used it calling themselves in the name of Jesus, we're going to do this. But we know they didn't have their eyes on Jesus. They had their eyes on greed and self-indictment, claiming to love the Lord but doing evil in his name. We understand that was going on, and it's still going on today. We just got to start looking up, lifting up, and praying. Again, we got to do like Jesus. We got to pray. And it says this in Mark 5:36, do not be afraid, only believe. Jesus did not comfort the man upon hearing the news of his daughter's death. He challenged him to faith and fear, regardless of our circumstances. God always urges us on to faith and always away from fear. Faith over fear. I got a t-shirt. I think my daughter wears a t-shirt that says, I think I got one too, that says faith over fear. We got to have faith over fear. I shall not want. We got to know who he is. He is God all by himself. We got to know that the Lord is our shepherd. And we shall not want. We got to start speaking into existence the things that we need. Lord, you know everything. I shall not want because the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want. Hallelujah. Come on now. We got to know who we belong to. God, Mark 5 and 43. And if we're going to go to Mark 5 and 43. And he had to just let this man know that they were dressed now. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it and said that something should be given to her to eat. Now, in we just read that in Jezebel, he told that man to go and tell, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. But yet he told Jairus and his wife, don't tell anybody. No one should know it, and that they should give us something to eat. If Jesus brought the little girl back to life, why didn't he also put something in her empty stomach? God does what only he can do. He instructs us to do what he equips us to do. He saved her life. But he told him, don't you tell nobody. And why? Because he knew that it was all the superstition and all the craziness would come out if they thought she had been dead and that he raised her from the dead. But he said, oh, she just sleep. And that's what the family had to continuously say. She was just asleep. And he woke her up. Hallelujah. We got to understand that it's Jesus that wakes us up morning by morning. New mercies we see because of the Savior. Because the Father gives you a do-over. Let today be better than yesterday. Hallelujah. Thank God for the do-over. John the Baptist, a man of discernment. Come on now. And we ask God daily, Lord, increase as we decrease. We got to ask God for discernment to see past the surface. And this is what it says in Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29. What would you think of a man who lived alone in the desert, wore camel skin, and ate wild honey and locusts? In other words, he was eating honey and bread. Yeah. I'm just being honest. I'll be like, oh, that's so nasty. He's eating bread. He's wearing a gray one. But God gives us discernment to see past the surface, to see into the heart. And we would know by discerning spirit that John was the real deal. That he was, as they call it, the real deal, Holy Spirit. John was the real deal. And he knew who he was and that he was born to prepare the way for the Savior. Hallelujah. And it goes on to tell you. You can see why many people who heard about John the Baptist went to see him out of sheer curiosity. But John was no lunatic, and neither was his message his own. For almost 30 years, God prepared John to announce the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. John was a man of great spiritual discernment who knew the difference between those who came with humble, repentant hearts and those who came to mock or criticize. When you ask God for discernment, he gives it to you freely. For those who truly seek his face and his direction for their lives, the Lord brings a wisdom that can come only from him. Hallelujah. Thank God for discernment and wisdom. Mark 6 and 6, he marveled because of their unbelief. Unbelief always causes Jesus to marvel because he knows that the God who asks us to trust him is almighty, all-wise, all-present, all-loving. Why would someone not trust God? The very idea is beyond understanding. Whew! Thank you, Jesus. And in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. Because, you know, it takes a lot out of you when you teach, when you preach, when you evangelize, when you do what apostles and prayer warriors do, intercessors. It drains you. And you need to get refreshed, revitalized, refueled. And so you just need some time to just decompress. And Jesus was taking them aside because they had been out. They had been out two by two, you know, healing the sick, you know, rebuking and taking out spirits. They was doing their job. They had been doing what they needed to do, and he just wanted them to come away and just have some quiet time. Jesus and his disciples worked hard, but they did not drive themselves to exhaustion. Jesus made sure that his men took care of themselves, not only spiritually, but physically as well. And we have to do that. You know, when God tells you to rest, you need to rest. When he tells you to take a sabbatical, you need to take a sabbatical. You need to renew, refresh, and revitalize. You know, you can't be so exhausted that you can't do what you need to do for God. So you have to take time to rest. I'm grateful. I had a good night's rest last night. I feel good. You feel revitalized. You just feel good when you get a good night's sleep. And Mark 6:46 says, when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Throughout the gospel, we find Jesus getting along with God to pray. During these times of intimate fellowship, he found renewed strength, direction, and a deep love for his Father. We got to take time to push. And as we continue, Mark 6:52, they had not understood about the loaves because their hearts were hardened. Had Jesus' disciples understood the meaning behind his first miracle, that they revealed him as the Messiah, the Son of God, his other miracles would not have surprised them. They saw, but they did not understand that they needed to keep their eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's get back into our Proverbs and Psalm word for this morning. It has been this word has been so rich and full today. I'm just filled up. I'm about ready to shout. I just tell you now, just ready to get up and get a moving. You know, just get out of my way and watch me dance. That's how I feel this morning. And as we go back and put Psalm chapter 27, starting at verse 4, it says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. But in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifice of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. David did not play. He knew who his daddy was. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path. because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed. Whew, hallelujah. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus, that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Come on, David didn't play. He spoke what he needed to speak and did what he needed to do. And as we go to Psalm chapter 28, verse 1 through 5, to you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me. Listen, if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity who speak peace to their neighbors but evil in their hearts. Again, there's that power in the tongue. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Woo! And let's hear our Proverbs this morning. And it says in Proverbs chapter 10, starting at verse 10, it says, he who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a flattering fool will fall. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. And I want to go right back to verse number 11. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. And we are seeing it in Ukraine today. Come on now. And it goes on to tell us, wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Again, death and life is in the tongue. Watch the mouth. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous leads to life, the wages of the wicked to sin. God's word tells us everything we need to know. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Whoever has hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Wow. Some harsh words, y'all. But the truth is the truth, and a lie is a lie. And let's just go back over some life questions for this word this morning. In Psalm 27, verses 4 and 8, it says, do you know that God wants to show you more of himself every day? He does. He wants a living, bright, vibrant relationship with you. And you can say to yourself, yes, Lord, I want a relationship with you too. And this is what Psalm 27 and 8 says. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek. Are you seeking after God with all your strength? Does your time with the Lord revitalize you? Or does it feel more like a ritualistic experience? I can tell you, our time in the Word revitalizes me. I feel good when I finish reading the Word of God. I feel good because I've spent some time in his presence, in his Word. I love the Lord, and I know he loves me, y'all. I'm about to jump up and run this morning. And it says, to better know God, you must come to him honestly, confessing your sins and inviting Jesus Christ into your heart requires you to be vulnerable. Yet it is the best decision anyone can ever make. You must understand your reliance upon him. You must come to the point where you understand that God is your only source of comfort and power. You must become interested in what interests him. He has your desire for spiritual insight and godly wisdom declined. If so, ask the Lord to restore you your longing for him and for the things that most concern him. You must know his word by reading the Bible. You open your heart to him. He has given you the Holy Spirit to help you interpret his word. And he wants you to meditate on it so you can apply it for your life. What does it say? Meditate on the word day and night. You must observe his characteristics and ways. Read the promises that God makes in his word. Ask him to remind you of how he has already worked in your life. I can raise my hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Lord. You must accept his invitations and follow his commands. God is constantly inviting you to walk with him. Give the Lord total control of your decisions, your time, your talents, and your possessions. I call it the triple T, your time, your talents, your tent. Come on now. Your knowledge of God grows as you increasingly recognize his love for you. God delights in your joyful praise and worship of him. Be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46:10 says. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. As you get to know God on a deeper level, your ability to trust and obey him will increase. You will find your life fulfillment when you come to know and exalt the Lord of all creation. And I say this morning, if you don't know the Lord, today is a good day to be saved. And the word in Proverbs that tells us 10:12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. We all make mistakes in our relationships, and the natural reaction to an offense is anger. But if we want our relationships to work, we must learn to apply love, not bitterness, to the wounds we suffer. Come on now, that's for somebody this morning. And again, seeking God's guidance. A proverb of Psalm words, but Psalm 27:14. This is what Dr. Stanley said. You want to get a pen and paper out to write these down before we get finished this morning. It says life is full of choices. And if we want to make the right choice, those that glorify God and benefit us and others, we need God's guidance. All of us will eventually come to places and times when we will desperately need God's guidance. How can believers find that guidance? 7 words may help. Cleansing. We need to ask, is anything in my life hindering me from hearing what you are saying? If so, what is it? Cleansing comes by confession. Surrounded, submitting to the will of God is both a humbling and an uplifting experience. Asking for God's promises that when we ask according to his will, he hears us. And when we know that he hears us, we know he has answered. Even though the answer may come over a long period of time, meditating, God promises that his word will be a light to our path. Hallelujah. So the more we think about his word, the clearer our path will become. Believing. In Mark's gospel, we learn that when we ask, we must believe he is going to give us what we have requested. Waiting. God promises that he acts on our behalf when we wait for him. If we want, we can run ahead of him, dash in and try to fix things on our own or manipulate circumstances. If we wait on the Lord, when our sovereign, divine, omnipotent God will act on our behalf, it's our choice. Receiving. When we obediently seek the will of God, we can be sure that he'll hear us and give us the wisdom we need to make the right choices. We will find great peace and confidence in knowing that we are making choices based on God's guidance. Perhaps no one will understand or agree with your decision, but you will have heard from the ones who matters the most. Therefore, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, Psalms 27:14. So again, cleansing, surrounding, surrendering, excuse me, cleansing, surrendering, asking, meditating, believing, waiting, and you will receive whatever it is God has for you. And one, a few more life lessons. In Psalms 27:13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Christians do not merely hope for pie in the sky in the great by and by. We can expect and trust to receive God's help and salvation right now in the heart of the battle. But we understand we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, family. We are wrestling against principalities. We got to know who our daddy is, and we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. And before we get out of here today, family, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Hallelujah. So grateful today. And the word from our sister in Christ this morning is this. Whew, hallelujah. Good morning. No one can block the blessings that God has for you. No one can block the blessings that God has for you. We got to know who we belong to. You belong to Jesus, and he belongs to you. Thank God for his eyes. Thank God for his love. Thank God for his ears to hear, eyes to see, heart of love for us, and his wings that covers us in the cliff of the rock. That is our word for this morning, and I just want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I got my eyes set on you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this word this morning. And I say to you today, if you have time, let's get our last word in today. Good morning. Enter in his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, Psalm 104. And that is our word today. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other in Jesus' name. I pray over you and yours. Know that you are blessed and favored by God because he has given you him. Keep your eyes on Jesus today. Push. Pray until something happens and watch God work in your life. If you're on Facebook, join me at the Table of Life Ministries this morning for another word from the Lord. God has got us covered. Hallelujah. I love it. There ain't nothing y'all can do about it but love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And love me, your neighbor, as you love yourself, because I love God, and I love you too. Be blessed, family. I thank you again for listening this morning, and as always, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, because I tell you this, you can have nothing in this world better than Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus today, and know that he's got you covered. He's got you covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet with his blood, with his grace, and with his love. Speak life today. Speak life and watch God watch over you and give you abundance of peace, of love, and of joy. And again, join me at the table this morning on Facebook. Live at 11 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. And watch God work in your life because our babies are going forward and they are awesome. So thanking God for wonderful children and for a wonderful faith. Be blessed. It's a wrap.